area. It's really on the inside of the Sea of Galilee, and it is in a mountainous area, and so it fits with the herd of swine running down over the cliffs that were there and into the sea. But it is on the east side and kind of the northeast side of the Sea of Galilee. The account that Mark and Luke give of this, they mention two men possessed with demons. Matthew only mentions one, or rather the other way around. Matthew mentions the two. Mark and Luke only mention one. That's not a contradiction. Mark and Luke only mention one. They don't say there was only one. They only talk about one. Matthew mentions two. Why? Why would Matthew mention the two, and why would Mark and Luke only mention the one? If you read the account in Mark and Luke, there was one of the men who did, after the demons were cast out of him, requested to be able to follow with Jesus and go with him. And Jesus said, no, I want you to go back to your home, back to your village, back to your city, and I want you to tell everyone what the Lord has done for you. Probably of these two men, there was only one of them that requested to follow Jesus in that manner. And that's what Luke and Mark focus on. And so they only mention the one. They mention the one who tried to did request to follow Jesus, and Jesus said, no, go back and proclaim what the Lord's done for you. So they just mention the one who made that request. Matthew, on the other hand, doesn't even mention that aspect of this story. He doesn't even mention that one of them tried to follow Jesus. He simply says that there were two of them. Remember what Matthew's purpose in writing was. All along, we've been saying Matthew is trying to convey to the Jews that they rejected their Messiah, and that's why he did not establish his kingdom. And in keeping with that purpose, in essence, Matthew is saying here, you cared more about a herd of swine than two people. Not just one, two people. And you cared more about a herd of swine than two men who were possessed with demons. So it fits their purposes. That's why Matthew mentions two men, and Mark and Luke simply focused on the one. But it's not in any way a contradiction. Notice they're two possessed with demons. Again, in Mark and Luke's account, it says that Christ asked the demons their name, and it was legion, because there were many demons. A legion in the Roman army was 6,000 men. That doesn't mean there were 6,000 demons necessarily. It just was a reference to many demons were possessing these two men. Mark and Luke also tell us that there were 2,000 pigs that the demons went into. So does that mean there were 2,000 demons? Again, we're not told that. The whole herd of swine ran into the sea, and there were 2,000 of them. Were all 2,000 pigs possessed with a demon? Were there 2,000 of them? Again, we don't know, but we do know that these men were possessed with many demons. Notice they were exceedingly fierce, that no man might pass by that way. I would suggest to you that these two demon-possessed men were a real problem for the people that lived in that area. They were scared of them. And again, you read the accounts in Mark and Luke, they tried on several occasions to catch these men and to bind them and to tie them up, and they would just break the ropes. They were fierce, and the people of that area tried to control them and couldn't. So they were a real problem to these people. So much so that they were afraid to even go in that area. And they were a problem. I think that plays into this story as we go down through it. These two men were a real problem to that population. Notice in verse 29, there are three statements, or three things that are revealed in the statements that the demons make. The first thing we see is that they recognize the deity of Christ. Behold, they cried out, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" Referring to him as the Son of God is a recognition of his deity. The term Son of God is a name of deity. And the demons recognized his deity. "Are you come here to torment us before the time?" Really tells us two things. First of all, it tells us they recognize God's control over them, or Jesus' control over them. They recognize that he had authority to do whatever he wanted to do. "Have you come to torment us before the time?" They recognized that they were completely at his mercy. They could not stop whatever he wanted to do. And they recognized that. He had control over them. So they asked him, "Are you here to torment us before the time?" And what do they mean by that? Torment us before the time. What time? Again, if you look at the accounts in Mark and Luke, they actually ask the question, not only are you here to torment us before the time, but don't cast us into the deep, is how the King James translates it. The word deep there is the word abyss. It's the same word used in Revelation. King James translates it bottomless pit in Revelation. But it is the word that's used with reference to where Satan and his demons will be cast during the millennial kingdom. And so when they ask the question here, "Are you here to torment us before the time?" what they're saying is, "Are you going to cast us into the abyss now as opposed to in the millennial kingdom?" Again, Christ is presenting himself as the Messiah. He's presenting himself as the one who's here to establish the kingdom. The demons didn't know when that kingdom was going to be established, but they recognized that the Messiah was here to establish that kingdom. But the kingdom hadn't started yet. And so they asked the question, "Are you going to cast us in there now as opposed to the start of the kingdom?" Now, the demons probably thought the start of the kingdom would be very soon. We know, again, the Jews rejected their king. They crucified their king, and so now we've had a 2,000-year period of the church rather than the kingdom, but the kingdom's yet to come. But these demons were concerned that Jesus at this point was going to cast them into the abyss. And again, they recognized that Jesus was the judge and that there was that future judgment on them. They recognize that. They recognize that he had authority over them, and then also that authority was going to be exercised at some point in judgment upon them as they were cast into the abyss. The demons' theology was pretty good. They recognize the deity of Christ, they recognize the sovereignty of Christ, and they recognize that he is the judge. Their theology was pretty good. Remember what James says? The demons believe and tremble. Joe?
That couldn't have happened because the millennial period didn't happen. And they don't get thrown into the lake of fire until
they don't get. The lake of fire is after the millennial kingdom, so that's different than the abyss. They are in the abyss. They're thrown into the abyss at the beginning of the millennial kingdom.
So the abyss is hell, basically.
Yeah. We could call it that.
Sheol.
Yeah.
They also know that Christ was merciful because they begged not to be thrown into the abyss, and he allowed them that.
Okay, Dale is saying they apparently recognized his mercy because they asked not to be thrown into the abyss, and Jesus honored that. I don't know if that would be so much his mercy or simply Jesus' submission to the Father not to exercise that judgment before the proper time. So I don't know if I'd look at it as mercy towards the demons as much as simply submission to the Father. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, did the demons die when they went into the water? And the answer would be no. The demons, being angels, don't die. Maybe we'll get to your question. It's like, what's really going on here? Let's work down through the passage and we'll see. Let me say this. Remember, there are, I guess the best word to use, two groups of demons. If you go to Jude and also 2 Peter, we find that there are some demons today that are in the abyss. They are chained in outer darkness. And so we have demons such as here who are free to roam and free to possess and free to oppress along with Satan. But then there are also demons that are now reserved in chains of darkness in the abyss. What's the difference between the two? Can't really say for sure. It does seem in Jude and in 2 Peter that the ones who are chained in darkness were the ones who were involved in whatever was taking place in Genesis chapter 6. Prior to the flood, when it talks about the sons of God and the daughters of men and all of that was taking place in Genesis 6, which in itself is difficult to understand. But in Jude and in 2 Peter, it does appear as though those that were involved in what was taking place in Genesis chapter 6 prior to the flood were cast into the abyss, into outer darkness, and chained. But then there are others that are still free to roam. And these obviously are possessing these two men. Yes, Amen.
Is it possible that the same people today are demon possessed?
The question is it possible that insane people today are demon possessed? And I would say yes, that is very possible. I believe there is demon possession. I will say this, it does appear. Let me back up a little bit. There's no reference to any demon possession in the city of Jerusalem in the Bible. It's all out in the poorer villages. And no reference to any demon possession in Jerusalem in the city. Is that significant? I don't know. It does appear, as we talk to our missionaries and so forth, it does appear as though demon possession and or oppression is more common in poor countries, if I can just use that term, as opposed to the more wealthy countries, such as America and even Europe. But it's in the poor countries, such as Africa and so forth, where it does seem to be more a demon activity. That's just an observation. Don't ask me to explain it. It's just an observation. But what does the education have to do with the demons' activity? Again, it's an observation. I just throw it out there for you to think about. But coming back to your question, that doesn't mean that there is not any demon possession or oppression in the United States. And as you read that demon possession, even such as these two men, we would have referred to them as mentally ill. That would have been our terminology today. And I think there is some mental illness today that could be demon possession. The question is there any reason why we shouldn't pray for their recovery? And I would say certainly not. We should. Understanding that the best way for their recovery is their salvation. That's what they need. Once they have Christ as their Savior, they will not be demon-possessed. And let me say this too. We talk about demon possession. We talk about demon oppression. The Greek word that's used doesn't make a distinction between that. The Greek word simply says demonized. Now, I think, obviously, in this account, they were possessed. But there's other times in Scripture where it may not be possession, it may be oppression. But it's the same Greek word. It simply is the Greek word demonized. That word can mean either possession or oppression. And we've said many times that believers cannot be possessed because we are possessed by the Holy Spirit. But a believer can be oppressed by demon activity and influenced. Have I confused you at all? Verse 30, there is a good way off from there and heard of many swine feeding. So the demons besought him, saying, if you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine. Why do they make this request? Again, we see here that they recognize the authority of Christ. They recognize the control he had over them. They recognize that they couldn't do anything without his permission. They recognize that just because they wanted to go into the herd of swine, they couldn't do it unless Jesus permitted them to do it. So it speaks completely of Christ's authority over them and control over them. But why did they make this request? Obviously, they did not want to be cast into the abyss. We know that. They assumed, rightly so, that Jesus was not going to leave these two men demon-possessed. So they knew that Jesus would do something with them. They didn't want to be cast into the abyss. They saw the herd of swine. That was maybe the most obvious solution in their mind. Many have argued the point they didn't want to be bodiless. It doesn't say that. I don't know that. It's possible, but that's speculation. It may have just been a simple solution for them. The thing about, it is speculation. You know, Jesus honored the request. I don't know why Jesus honored that request. But then the swine ran into the water and drowned anyway, so was it the demons that caused the swine to run into the water? Was it Jesus that caused the swine to run into the water? In other words, here's one scenario. They requested, because they didn't want to be bodiless, put us into the pigs. They got into the pigs, but Jesus said, I'm going to show you who's boss. And he had this swine run into the water, and they were bodiless anyway. And Jesus got what he wanted in the end. That's one scenario. The other scenario is simply that the demons did not want to go from this man into bodiless, and so they went into the pigs, and then the demons themselves caused the pigs to go into the water, and then they became bodiless. Anything we say about that is speculation. We're not told. I don't know if you want to comment on that or not, but that's the best I can tell you. We're not told. Jesus, in the end, did what he wanted to do. He did cast the demons out of these two men. That was the ultimate goal. Why he honored that request with the pigs and what the demons had in mind when they made the request is speculation. Glenn? Well, the time is God's time, not their time. God, it's God's time when he's going to throw them into the abyss. It's not the demon's time.
Right, but they know it's coming.
They know it's coming. Demons what? But if it's Christ that honored it. So did Christ want to raise a ruckus? And I'll make a suggestion here in a minute that I think Christ did want to create a ruckus. Chris? Were these two men saved at this point? The one that Mark and Luke talks about obviously requested, I want to follow you. And Jesus said, no, go back to your home and tell them what great things the Lord's done for you. So at least the one, I would say, was saved. He does talk about casting demons out of one improperly, and then many more come back and possess them later. Christ does talk about that. Let me just, because we're out of time, verse 32, they do go into the herd of swine, they run down the steep place into the sea and perish in the waters. They that kept them fled. They go into the city, they tell everyone what's happened. People come out, and instead of coming out and saying, thank you for taking care of these two men, they were a real problem to us, they tell Jesus to get out of here. What's going on there? I don't know if you remember, why would you? It's been 15 years ago. I preached a sermon on this. I entitled it, Solve Our Problems But Save Our Pigs. It seems as though these two men were a real problem, as we said earlier. They tried to capture them, they tried to tie them up, and they broke the ropes. They tried to rid their country of these two men, and they couldn't. They were a real problem. They wouldn't even go by that way, it says. They were a real problem. Jesus solved their problem. They got mad at him and told him to get out of here. Why? And Glenn, you mentioned that these pigs were their livelihood, at least for many of them. You know, 2,000 pigs, that's a healthy livelihood. It seems as though what's happening here, it's solve our problems but save our pigs. It's the idea of what we many times, how we treat Jesus and how the unbelievers treat Jesus. We want a helper to help us with our problems, but we don't want a Savior that's going to tell us to change our life. Jesus just showed that he had authority. And these townspeople did not want somebody to have that kind of authority in their midst. Somebody that would save their problem, solve their problem, that's a great thing, but somebody that's going to actually demand that we change our life, we don't want that. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of people are today. That's where America is today, isn't it? You know, we have 9/11, and you know, everyone, you know, God bless America, God bless America, but, you know, solve our problem, but don't ask us to change our life. And there's a lot of believers that treat God that way many times too. You know, we treat God as, you know, the one that's going to help us with our problems, but don't ask me to change my life. Don't ask me to change my lifestyle. Don't ask me to change how I'm living. Solve my problems for me, but don't ask me to change how I'm living my life. Without realizing that how we're living our life is probably what's causing the problems. So take care of my problems, but don't ask me to change my life that's causing my problems. And that's what I see taking place here, Sharon. Why were they there? Mm-hmm. The question is, you know, pigs were an unclean animal in the according to the Old Testament law and the Jewish culture. This is up near the Sea of Galilee. Remember what the Sea of Galilee is referred to in the Bible at this point? It's Galilee of the nations. Up around the Sea of Galilee was not primarily populated by Jews. There were certainly Jews there. I mean, Capernaum, Peter, that was his hometown, and Peter and Andrew and James and John, and that's where Jesus spent a lot of his time. And of course, he was born in Nazareth, which is up in Galilee, and Joseph and Mary were Jewish. So certainly there were a lot of Jews in Galilee, but it was not necessarily primarily populated by Jews. It was Galilee of the nations. There were many Gentiles there. And so in answer to your question, what are these pigs doing there? Well, there were a lot of Gentiles there as well. Not to get too sidetracked there, and our time's up anyway, but during the Maccabean revolt. That's around 175 BC. The Maccabees tried to overthrow the Romans with some success. And with some success in trying to overthrow the Romans, they tried to repopulate the area around the Sea of Galilee with Jewish people. That's probably how Joseph and Mary's family got up in Nazareth, was during that Maccabean revolt where they tried to repopulate Galilee with Jewish people. There was some success in that revolt and some success in repopulating it, but there were still an awful lot of Gentiles up in that area. So how many Jewish people were in this area? Were they ignoring that these pigs were unclean? Probably. But it wasn't necessarily Jewish people who were raising the pigs. But again, I think we can easily see from this the idea of accepting Jesus as a helper, but not as a savior. Accepting Jesus as a helper, but not as our king. And we need to be very careful of that. Solve our problems, but save our pigs. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for our time together tonight. Thank you that you are the King. Help us to humble ourselves before you and to recognize that as our Savior, you do have authority in our lives. Help us to desire that authority, to submit ourselves to you, and to allow you to have that control in our lives, to change us where we need to be changed, not just to solve our problems. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good evening. Thanks for coming tonight.